Why do we exist? What's the purpose of man and woman? Why was man and woman brought into manifestation? You know, many traditions, many religions have attempted to answer this question, but none greater than the ancient Kemetic or ancient Egyptian philosophy of the Ma'asa. I'm going to teach you from that perspective why you exist and how you can use this perspective to go about your life. Let's talk about it. Hi, I'm Ra Mahetep Amen, and welcome to the Ra Mahetep Amen podcast show. And before we get started, please hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, hit the bell so that you can support our channel, but also get updated when we post new videos. Okay, so let's talk about it. Why do man and woman exist? What's the sole meaning and purpose behind our existence? You know, some religions simply say man's existence is simply for the benefit of God, for God to be pleased. And, you know, I'm not here to criticize those traditions and things of that nature, but really there's a broader spectrum that defines the purpose of our existence that I think if everybody understood this reality, the world, our societies, our neighborhoods, our families, our relationships would be 100 times better if we simply understood what I'm about to share with you today. All right, so let's get into it. In order for us to truly understand why man and woman exist, we must first understand the nature and notion of the universe prior to its existence. Now, one of the things that we learn from the ancient Kemetic Genesis story is that this entity that they call Neb-er-Cher existed prior to the manifestation of the universe. So this existence existed prior to the manifestation of any and all things, prior to any notion of any and all things. This existence exists in what we call a state of awareness. Now, what does awareness mean? In other words, there's no thing there. It's one without a second. There's nothing that exists. So therefore, the only thing that can exist at this point is awareness of this existence. Now, mind you, this awareness is what we call consciousness. And this consciousness, this awareness, this consciousness is something that we all share. And we'll talk about that a little later. But prior to the notion and the manifestation of any and all things, this entity simply existed in awareness. Now, this creates a fundamental, quote unquote, problem for this existence because it is aware that it exists, but it is absent of the experience of its existence. In other words, it is aware that it exists, but it's absent of the applied experience of its existence. So let me say that again. It is aware that it exists, but since there are no things that exist at this particular moment, there are no things that it could be conscious of at this particular moment, it simply exists in awareness of its existence. Now, this awareness is what serves as our source of awareness within our physical bodies as man and woman, which we will discuss later. Therefore, the word source is applied to this entity. But anyway, it simply exists in a state of awareness. This awareness is the singularity. It is one without a second. It cannot be added to. It cannot be subtracted from. It cannot be destroyed or diminished. So this awareness exists without the applied experience of this awareness. Now, that creates a fundamental problem, because if you are aware of your existence, you are absent of the knowledge of your existence, because knowledge of your existence comes through your applied awareness. And since nothing exists at this particular moment, it's impossible for you to have what we call applied awareness. So this entity knows it exists, it realizes it exists, but it cannot come to what it is, even though it knows it is. That creates a fundamental, what we call, issue or problem. This is what is called the negative existence that the Kabbalah call Ein Sof, the ancient Egyptians call Seah Hu. It is this existence that it exists in that creates a fundamental problem. It doesn't know what it is. It hasn't experienced what it is. Now, the notion of what it is automatically brings the universe into manifestation so that it can experience its applied awareness and come to the realization of what it is through the applied awareness, even though it knows it is. If this awareness exists prior to the notions of any and all things, then there must exist an unformed and unmodified matter, if you will, that the ancient Egyptians call Nu. And since this entity is undifferentiated, it is absolutely open and receptive to the notions of the entity that's aware. So when this awareness of itself manifests and it comes to the awareness that it knows it is, even though it has not experienced what it is, that conundrum automatically brings the universe into manifestation to solve that problem. Because if this matter was absolutely receptive, then any notion of this one indivisible reality has to manifest into spawning and bringing something into manifestation to support this one issue. So this awareness, without the applied experience of awareness, is the reason why the universe and all within was brought into manifestation. Now, man and woman sit at the highest expression of this awareness, and therefore they serve as the applied experience of this one entity. Now, before we get into the purpose of man and woman, let's talk about this for a second. I would not say that I am Nebuchadnezzar, because that's impossible. Nebuchadnezzar, what we consider Nebuchadnezzar, what the ancient Egyptians considered Nebuchadnezzar, is the singularity that existed prior to the universe. Even though we are also an expression of this individual consciousness as awareness within ourselves, this individual consciousness within us, we exist not in the same magnitude as this entity. This entity is the source of all things. We are simply an expression of experience. So even though we share in the qualities of consciousness, because consciousness, this awareness cannot be added to, it cannot be subtracted from, it cannot be destroyed, it cannot be increased. Since we are this consciousness, the thing that separates us is simply we are Nebuchadnezzar functioning through the limitations of the mind itself. So the mind limits our capabilities, limits our qualifications, if you will, but we still share in the qualities of this entity that existed prior to the notion of the universe. So we are this entity functioning through the limitations of the mind itself. So we would consider ourselves the capital S-E-L-F. We would not consider ourselves Nebuchadnezzar. I just want to make sure that we're clear on that. But we are Nebuchadnezzar functioning through the limitations of the mind itself. What gives us the sense that we are individuals, the sense that we are minimized in some degree, is the limitations of the mind from which our conscious awareness functions through. What gives us the sense of individual experience that records our application of our awareness is our ego, what psychology calls ego, what the ancient Egyptians call sahu, what the Hindu call jiva. The sahu, the symbol of a sahu, looks like a tied up sack, right? All of your applied applications of awareness through the mind is stored in this ego, and it becomes a representative of who you are. So it gives you a sense of individuality separate from the singularity. And we are here to apply our awareness through the mind, which gives us two applications, eye judgment and eye reasoning. So eye judgment and eye reasoning is something that man and woman share outside of all the other entities in the world. We're the only people that have the capability through us being this conscious awareness functioning through the limitation of the mind. The mind gives us I judgment and I reasoning. Every time you make a decision, there's an I judgment and I reason. It doesn't matter if that judgment is poor. It doesn't matter if that reasoning is poor. You still always execute those two principles before every decision, before every action. And that I reasoning and I judgment is stored as an application of you through your many life incarnations. That's why they call it a tied up psyche, because you carry this with you and becomes a sense of your identity. So you are the applied awareness of Nebuchadnezzar. What separates you from Nebuchadnezzar is you are functioning through the limitations of the mind itself. You are conscious awareness functioning through the limitations of the mind. If I take away the mind and take away the ego or Sahu, you would return to the notion as the source, as Nebuchadnezzar. So as man and woman, we're here to be the applied awareness of the source. Now, here's a very big statement that I want you to understand, because this is something that I think would change the world. It could be revolutionary. Even though we are all expressions of the one entity, and what separates us from not only source but each other is the limitations of the mind and our stored awareness within the ego or Sahu, there is still only one experiencer. So one of the most beautiful things that the ancient Egyptians, the ancient Chaldeans, the ancient Africans stated was there is only one experiencer manifesting through all things. There is only one experiencer. I am an expression of Nebuchadnezzar functioning through the limitations of the mind itself. You are an expression of Nebuchadnezzar functioning through the limitations of the mind itself. The rapist is Nebuchadnezzar functioning through the limitations of the mind itself. The priest is Nebuchadnezzar functioning through the limitations of the mind itself. Since we are all an expression of the one entity, right? There's only one witness. There's only one experiencer. Since we're all expressions of the one entity, then any and all things that we experience has to be the result or an expression of that reality. That's why the ancient Egyptians don't have a word for good and evil. As a matter of fact, you should get rid of all those terms, because they truly diminish who and what you are. And we should learn to apply that we're all expressions of the one entity. There's only one witness. There's only one experiencer manifesting through all beings. So even at my highest expression, I am Nebuchadnezzar functioning through the limitations of the mind itself. And even at my lowest expression, I am Nebuchadnezzar functioning through the limitations of the mind itself. And just think about that. Your ability to forgive, your ability to try to uplift, your ability to do a lot of things in the name of love would be increased if you just simply understood that. There's no such thing as good nor evil. Simply what? Expressions of inexperience and experience. As an application of your awareness, you're either functioning through inexperience awareness or experience awareness. Inexperience awareness will manifest malevolence. Experience awareness will manifest benevolence. There's no such thing as good nor evil. The person that carjacked you today is not evil. They're expressing through ignorance. And you got to be very careful about how you react, even with people that have quote unquote done you harm, because that is Nebuchadnezzar functioning through the limitations of the mind itself, carjacking you. That is Nebuchadnezzar functioning through the limitations of the mind itself. That is saving and uplifting you. Sure, we can punish people, but you can punish people in love. You can punish people in the name of uplift. And that punishment goes in many directions. It doesn't take away from your ability to help me get beyond my sin. Yeah, I might have to be punished by you for me to evolve beyond my ignorant awareness, but that doesn't mean that you cannot punish me in the name of love. And understanding that you are functioning, you are assisting source consciousness manifesting through the limitation of the mind itself to increase its experience. So what is the purpose of man and woman? Why do we exist? We simply exist as the applied awareness of the singularity. We're here to solve the problem that this singularity had prior to its creation, as to come to the awareness of what it is, even though it knows it is. Eventually, through many incarnations and many life experiences, we'll come to the realization of self, and we'll therefore solve that equation that became the reason, one of the four reasons why the universe manifested. Peace and blessings. You know, hopefully this helped you. If it did, feel free to, again, subscribe to this channel. Also, leave some comments in the comment section. Let me know how you feel about this.